This is Ian Pickus for WAMC News, and joining us now is Scott Jarzombak, the executive director of the Albany Public Library, and he's held that position since 2014. Scott, let me start the way I'm starting all interviews these days. How are you doing during this pandemic?
It's been a bizarre balance of doing my work, working from home, which is not something I'm used to, and also at the same time, trying to balance the schoolwork of a 7, an 8, and a 10-year-old, which has been a struggle.
How are they doing?
They're doing okay. Luckily, you know, we're lucky. You know, we have a broadband connection and we have the equipment, and they're used to that equipment. So for the most part, I think they're doing well. I actually think my one son is adapting to it better than a regular day of school.
Do you want to see kids go to summer school this year if it's possible?
If it's possible, but only if it's safe, only if it's safe for parents, only if it's safe for caregivers, you know, only if it's safe for the teachers. I think that's an option, but, you know, that's going to be really, really difficult. And, you know, one thing people have to understand that in the district, you know, in a city like Albany, a lot of the caregivers, you know, are people who are older. I have a lot of friends and family who the grandparents are the ones who pick the kids up after school. So, you know, the people who are most at risk from this are engaged in their grandchildren's, their nieces and their nephews' lives. And that's, you know, that's a danger that I think the state and the school district have to take into consideration.
Okay, so let's talk now about what the library is doing during these times. I think it's fair to say, and correct me if I'm wrong, that there was already sort of a digital transition underway in libraries around the world. As more material has moved online, libraries have had to decide what their physical spaces are going to be for in the future anyway. How is that playing out now that the buildings are, you know, by executive order closed?
So, you know, it's interesting. We, in our strategic plan, had actually been moving towards doing more and more basically programming online. It was a discussion that we had. We piloted it by doing our own podcast, which now we're almost doing weekly. So this was something that we recognized that the library is more than just four walls. It's a service, it's an organization, and we need to recognize that some people due to their work schedule, some people due to their due to access reasons can't get to the public library. So we were moving in this direction, and plus we were seeing like a 12 to 18% growth in our use of our ebook and our e-material collection as it was, and that was outpacing our physical book circulation, or starting to outpace our physical book circulation. So this was already, you know, not a transformation in addition to the services we were already providing. So when this switch got flipped for us, it was basically we had the plans in place. We just had to kind of get ahead of the plan when it came to producing stuff, which I'm blown away by how my staff are doing an amazing job of just doing story times and craft programs via our YouTube channel. And it's really great. And, you know, like I said, it's a direction we were moving, but not as a replacement, but more as just a new service to add. And I think that's not going to go away in the immediate future. Even, you know, when we're back to having our doors open and possibly doing programming, I think we're still going to be providing this online content.
Are people using it? Have you seen that those numbers are holding?
Those numbers are holding and they're growing. The only metric we did not see a significant reduction in was program participation. So the amount of people who are watching our videos and engaging in book discussion groups, it's close to, you know, it's fairly robust and getting closer and closer to what we were seeing number-wise when it came to in-person participation. So, you know, again, I just don't see this going away. I think it's just going to be a part of the work that we do moving into the future.
What kind of role does the library play in working with the city school district here?
We're partners. Part, again, of the most recent strategic plan for APL was to align a lot of our educational programming with the school district and the state's educational guidelines, and we've been doing that. We have a community partner, someone who oversees our community partnerships, and that person is always in contact with the school district, making sure that the programming that we're providing is kind of in line with what the school district wants to see in regards to their students.
How about the sort of after-school approach that the library offers? You know, it's been said libraries are one of the only places left in American society that you don't have to pay a fee to go into. You know what I mean? And kids are gathering there after school. There's all kinds of social interactions that happen in your spaces. Where is that happening now?
We don't know. And that's, you know, there are several things that we do for the community that we're really struggling, and not just Albany Public Library, but libraries across the country, you know, are struggling, those roles we play in the community where we are that community space. And for us, you know, it's something that we want to get back to, but we know the only way we're going to get back to it is if we follow the protocol set by, you know, the experts and do it slowly. So right now, libraries across the state are working on reopening plans that look like the reopening plans of retail establishments and other and businesses, that it will be slow, it will be deliberate, it will be with protocols in mind, it will be done in a way that if we have to roll things back, we can roll things back. But our job is information and providing information to the community. Sometimes the best way to do that is by your actions. So we want to show the community that, like everybody else, we want to get back to where we were, but the only way that's going to happen is if we all work together and do it a smart way.
You'll have to enlighten me on this. Is the Albany Public Library budget in any sort of jeopardy? Is it affected in any way by this?
So we're a separate, we're what's called a school district library, and that means that we're a separate district, and we're even separate from the school district. It's only called a school district library because it's the same boundaries as the school district, but we have a public vote, whenever we raise our budget. So right now, no. I mean, we are concerned about other revenue. We collect pilot payments. We collect revenue through CDTA navigator passes and faxes and some computer use and some printing. So, you know, we do see some financial headwinds coming in the next, you know, one or two budget years. And they will be significant, but I think we're a pretty sound financial institution. We have put money aside for emergencies, and I see us using those funds. And hopefully, you know, in the next one or two, you know, fiscal years, we will see a little bit of a correction and we will not have to worry about it as much. But there will be a financial impact for us, just like everybody else, just like everybody else at home, just like every other institution in business.
Not long ago, you made the decision to do away with late fees. What was the idea behind that, and has it had the effect that you hoped it would?
Yes, we saw people coming back to the library who we hadn't seen in years, and we saw material be returned to the library that hadn't been returned in years. Getting rid of late fees was all about being equitable. We would go to school, we would do school visits in school classrooms, and students would basically say to the librarians, you know, the library card isn't free. My mom says we can't afford it. And it's because, I'm a parent, you lose a book for a couple days. Almost every parent I know has had to pay late fees. And so if you're a child who's going to the library on your own, you don't have that dollar or two to pay that late fee, you're not going to return the book you have. And sometimes you're not going to return to the library because you're just not going to be able to use it. $5, $10 in late fees seems like a minimal amount of money to pay for library service. But for some people, that's a meal. For some people, that's a week's worth of bus to get to work. And, you know, we definitely saw it as kind of an unreasonable barrier for library use for members of our community who need it the most.
A lot of organizations and individuals are thinking about how they might want to change some things when life goes, quote unquote, back to normal after this pandemic. In your mind, what should the Albany Public Library learn from this entire experience?
Well, I think we're learning a lot of things internally, making us a better organization when it comes to communication. Our staff now meet, you know, this is a staff of 146. We now meet weekly to kind of give a 15 to 20 minute overview of what's going on at the library and what services we're providing. And we're doing that through conferencing software. It's so much easier and it's great communication. So I think a lot of businesses and a lot of organizations are going to use this opportunity to learn how to better communicate all of the things that they do to their staff and to the public. I don't see life at the library returning to normal for a significant amount of time, but I do see us finding new and interesting ways to serve the public. And like in anything else, those things aren't going to change. They're not going to go away. The thing we've talked about most is book delivery. There are still people who want physical books, and we're trying to figure out new ways to get books to those people. And things like curbside pickup, a lot of libraries are experimenting with. When we believe it's safe, we're going to start a program like that. And I see that as something that's going to last for a significant amount of time. I do think people will use us differently, but at the same time, I think people will also appreciate us because they'll realize we're that community space that they really want and need. And, you know, if we can figure out the protocols to keep our spaces clean and neat and safe for everybody, then we're going to continue with that.
Scott, what are you reading to get through these strange times?
Oh, man. I am listening to Bruce Springsteen's autobiography on audiobook, and I've been reading, I'm a post-apocalyptic, I was very much into dystopian fiction, post-apocalyptic fiction. I'm not touching any of that. I'm reading, I think I'm turning into my mom, and I'm reading a lot of mysteries. I'm a big fan of Walter Mosley, so that's not new for my reading. I've been rereading his back catalog. I just finished White Butterfly, which is a really great book, and The Trouble is What I Do. And, you know, he's a great mystery writer because it's a little bit more straight. It's a little bit more kind of the urban landscape, and there's a little bit of history to it. And since I ran out of those books, I am now reading other mystery books, and that seems like it's going to be my genre for a while, because once you live through the post-apocalyptic landscape a little bit, it makes it a little less attractive to spend your downtime experiencing it.
I don't know if you're allowed to say this, but what about the plague? Has borrowing of that book gone through the roof?
You know, I'm gonna look. That's my one of my favorite books. I thought about rereading it. I have a heart. You know, I actually reread it last summer. So I'm gonna.
You were ahead of the curve.
Yeah. And this is with The Earth Divides, which is one of the first. You know, it's credited as one of the first post-apocalyptic books, and it's also it's very much with what's going on right now. But I have a copy of it. Like I said, it's one of my favorite books. It's sitting on my shelf. I don't know if I'm ready to read it again, and I hope in a year or two I'm going to, revisit a genre I love and be able to enjoy it again and maybe enjoy it with a little bit more experience and forethought.
Scott, anything I didn't ask you about that you want to add on here?
Well, one thing that I think is really important, and, this is one thing that I really want to get the word out about, is we're still answering, one of our jobs in the community is to be the information specialist for the community, and we're still answering reference questions. We're doing it by phone and by email. So, if you need a phone number, if you want to find out if somewhere is open, if you just want to hear a voice on the other end of the phone, you can call 518-217-5601. Again, that's 217-5601. That's one of our many reference numbers. You can give us a call and you can ask questions. You can find out about resources. If you're stuck on a few things, that's something that you can still hear a voice out from the library that's a trusted source to provide information for you. And I think that's really important for people to understand. Those numbers are manned from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. So give our staff a call and get assistance. You can also email askalibrarian@albanypubliclibrary.org. That's askalibrarian at albanypubliclibrary.org. We'll be able to answer reference questions there as well. That's almost 24/7. And reach out to us through social media if you are online. And if you're having problems getting online, all of our locations, the Wi-Fi is on. And the Wi-Fi is reachable from the parking lot. So you can sit in your car and still get on our Wi-Fi. So if you're hearing this and you want to get online and you don't have access at home, please go to one of those locations and you will be able to get online. It's a pretty robust connection. We're still here. We're still serving the community. And, we just want people to know that people are still using us, but we want more people in the community to use us as well.
That's Scott Jarzombek, the executive director of the Albany Public Library. And he's held that position since 2014. Scott, thanks for taking some time and thanks for what you're doing.
Thank you.